Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien.
And welcome to Level Up Human, the show that looks at the human race and tries to figure out how we can make it better. We're coming to you live from the Cambridge Science Festival at the Wellcome Genome Campus. We're taking suggestions from our panel, from our audience, and from the natural world to try and figure out exactly what the next stage in human evolution should be. We're putting together a to-do list for human evolution. I'm your host, Simon Watts, and today I'm joined by three sets of organs arranged vaguely in the right order in the form of our guests. Tonight's judge, deciding which of the ideas is worth incorporating into future generations of our species. On my immediate left, it's Sam Binns. Sam is an actress and a comedian. You can find her all over the place. She's got her own show on Hoxton Radio, and you're propping up in pretty much everything on Netflix that I've seen lately. Sam, these people are going to be giving you ideas. What kind of thing are you hoping to hear tonight?
I want to hear something that's going to change my life.
You're not asking much.
No pressure, guys. I want to hear something that's relevant to me and my life, because I'm an actress and all I care about is myself. What I want to hear is you selling it and owning it. I don't want any of this wishy-washy, oh, maybe we could do that. No, I want you to own it. I want you to know that this is going to make my life, these lovely people's lives, and the human race better.
Well, I'm feeling the pressure, even if you're not. That says something. And pitching ideas to Sam, on my immediate right, we have Anne Neville. Anne is a postdoctoral researcher here at the Sanger Institute, and you're interested in the microbes that live in the human gut and how they can be exploited to improve human health. That's what it says on the website. Why are you so clean on exploitation?
Well, we think that the microbes that live in the human gut, but also in the gut of many other animals, could be really very useful to us in the future. So we would like to be able to make medicines from these bacteria.
So, perfect. Yeah. You can see why this is the kind of expert we want to hear from. You might even be able to reap the harvest of microbes that we find everywhere and get ideas from them. And on her right, we have Andy Yates. Let me get this right. Andy leads the Genomic Technology Infrastructure Team. I don't know what that means.
No one else does. It's absolutely fine.
Do any of you who are working at the campus know what it means?
About five of us or so. That's about it. I mean, pretty much what we're doing is we're collecting data into massive databases and we send them back out to researchers around the world.
Okay. So
it's not too hard, hopefully.
How do we get that? What is this data when you say you're collecting it? Is this basically an essay on a biological budget?
No, it's things like genomic annotation and genomic sequence. So we are annotating genomes, like human genome, cow genomes, anything that's kind of cute. Cute's always good. People like cute animals. People like cute genomes.
Are you like the cat videos of science?
Yes, totally.
Ideal.
You could watch us all day.
You've picked the wrong host, because my other job is running the Ugly Animal Preservation Society.
Oh, no.
I want you to sequence a blobfish just for me. Some of the more aesthetically challenged creatures out there, they need their genomes meddled with as well, I think. Well, these are our panel. You can see Andy's going to bring ideas from genetics. We've also got ideas from microbes. We've got ideas coming from everywhere. But we're also going to take suggestions from our audience here at the Welcome Genome Campus. Please give everyone a round of applause. Well, to get us going, before we delve into the sort of hypothetical, our panel have brought along some news stories to show us what is happening in the world right now. Why don't we start with you, Sam? What's caught your eye in the news at the moment?
Well, I recently discovered the very important, life-changing news that elephants live on 2 hours sleep.
Why?
What you can't feel is the raised eyebrows that just brought on in the room. In the wild, they live on 2 hours sleep, and they only lie down to sleep every 3 to 4 days. And so they're breaking the record for the shortest amount of sleep. Before that, horses were the record winners on 2 hours and 35 minutes. But I think the elephant in the room here, stop it, is how have they tracked it? And in this article, they say they've basically tracked it with a sort of Fitbit, which I love. Just imagining all these elephants like running around in deserts or wherever they run, just with Fitbits. No wonder they never go to sleep. They have to get their 10,000 steps every day. Me and my husband are exactly the same. I just like the idea of elephants with Fitbits. But imagine if we could live off only 2 hours sleep, and if we could sleep standing up.
Yeah, but if you were the size of an elephant, you wouldn't bother sitting down if you knew you had to get up again.
But holding all that weight up for such a long time.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just imagining how big the wristband is in the Fitbit, actually. It's kind of weird.
They inject it into their trunks. Because it's a big hunk of muscle.
Some people in the audience there.
I raised my eyebrows then.
Actually, would that be an upgrade to Fitbits? Never mind anything else, actually injecting them straight into us so you can't lie and stick it on your dog or something like that.
Yeah.
The number of people who I know have got Fitbits, and it just means they sit there with their hand doing this fervently. Actually, don't misinterpret that, right? Yeah, great podcasting moment.
Throwing
there as
the
well.
Ball action.
Yeah, just as many times as you can to fake it.
Innuendo in the slightest.
Let's move on. What's caught your eye, Anne? What's grabbed you?
Well, I found an article recently where it describes some scientific research that was done by researchers in California, where they used a person's own microbes, which they isolated from their skin, to treat Staphylococcus aureus, which some of you might know is the bacterium that sometimes causes various different infections. What these scientists did was they swabbed the skin of healthy people, and they found that there are various strains of bacteria on the skin which can produce antimicrobials that will kill specific bacteria such as Staphylococcus aureus. And then they tested it in the lab to see if it was gonna work. And eventually they put it into skin cream and showed that in people with atopic dermatitis that the probiotic skin cream would actually reduce the levels of Staphylococcus aureus that were found in these people.
So hold on, you're telling me that we're making something a bit like an oil of some kind of... I'm trying to think of some generic skin cream without naming anyone in case we get sued. And they're filling it full of microbes.
Yes.
And your own microbes.
Yes.
Is it like bacteria?
Yeah, it's bacteria cream that you find on the skin of healthy people.
So you're putting other people's skin on your skin?
No, your own bacteria.
No, that would be disgusting. It's your own bacteria.
Sorry.
Like a form of person.
Yeah.
So you'd like scrape a bit of your skin off, mix it with some cream.
So you just like rub the skin, recover the microbes, you take it to the lab and grow them. And then you would demonstrate that some of these microbes will produce antimicrobials, like antibiotics. Huh. And then you can take those bacteria and put them in your skin cream.
So this is the equivalent of those daft yogurts. But for your skin.
Sure.
Don't stick yogurt on your face here. This is not the answer for
you. Sure. I think, a lot of people know that there are gut microbes, like obviously in the intestines, but maybe people don't always know that there are microbes on your skin too, and that they also help you to stay healthy and to live a normal life.
Wow, useful microbes crawling all over us.
Is that like personalised cream then? Because you have one with your own microbes.
Yeah, so exactly. Here, what these people did is they took the bacteria that were present on a person's skin normally, grew them up in the lab, and then put them at a particular density into this cream, and then put the cream on the person. So that really it is a form of personalized medicine here. So
I love that. I have a necklace with my own name on it, but I definitely want cream with my own
microbes in it.
It sounds like the other way to get more of your own microbes is not to wash, surely.
Sure. But that would probably not be advisable because you'd lose a lot of friends that way, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, there's always a downside. What's caught your eye, Andy?
Well, I'm going to go back in time a little bit to Neanderthals. And there was a bit of research recently where they looked at the dental calculus of Neanderthals. Now, calculus is the calcified buildup on your teeth. And thankfully, because Neanderthals don't brush their teeth all that well, you can actually drill back down into it and see what they've been eating. The first bit of research said that we thought that Neanderthals were mainly meat eaters. That's not true. There's a couple, a set from northern Spain, and they were vegetarians, for one. The other thing they found is that they think that Neanderthals were actually self-medicating themselves. So it's a real advert for kind of like the modern NHS as well.
And when you say self-medicating, that's in Ireland, that just means drinking. So what do you mean here?
Well, they found compounds that were analogues to aspirin in the teeth. And they think they got that from biting on a bit of poplar bark. So they kind of went out and thought, one little lad had a bit of a tooth abscess and went, God, my tooth hurts, and thought the best thing he could do was have a chew on a branch. Sounds like a drunken bet gone wrong, really. So maybe they were actually self-medicating the other way as well.
That makes sense.
So the bark isn't worse than the bite?
It's not, no. The other thing they were doing is that they actually found little remnants of penicillin in the teeth as well. So they were actually taking antibiotics, so like moldy pieces of grain or something, if they had like gut infections. And they knew that that must have helped.
Well, can we tell if they knew what they were doing, or is this like accidental to a degree?
Because sometimes you get that bread and it's got a bit of mould on it, but you don't know, and then you only realise halfway through the sandwich.
Well, yeah. They had a look at some of the other samples, and they found that the penicillin didn't actually appear in the other samples from the same region. So it was that particular Neanderthal was specifically taking something that was helping themselves. And now it leads me onto a theory that I know why Neanderthals actually died out. I mean, I'm allergic to penicillin. Yeah. And now I'm beginning to think that, you know, basically they were idiots and they just ate penicillin and died.
That could be.
Well, no, it's a possibility.
I thought you were going to really anger some vegans there by saying it was because these were the vegetarian ones or something like that.
Do you think they did vegan?
It didn't say anything if they're actually on a vegan diet or anything, or any particular kind of diet.
But it does say they're treating themselves with drugs. Drugged up Neanderthals. I'd watch that documentary. That'd be awesome. Well, Bill, these are the kind of things that are actually happening right now, but we want to see what we want for the future. So, Sam, prepare to have your socks blown off. Anne,
Yes. What
do you want to pitch? What would you like to see in the next stage of human evolution?
Well, I think it would be great if we could, as humans, consciously interpret the messages that we get from our microbes.
So you want us to talk to the teeny tiny things that are crawling all over
us? Well, I kind of want them to be able to talk to you. So for example, if you're, I don't know, been following a really unhealthy diet for a little while, maybe your gut microbes at least would not be very happy about this. So maybe they would say, hey, you know, don't go for that cheeseburger when you can have a very tasty salad instead. Or, you know, we often use microbes too, like biosensors, for example. So maybe, you know, you could have your bacteria in your gut looking around and say, hey, that looks a little bit like a tumor that maybe you should get checked out, so go to your doctor. And you could say, hey, okay, I need to go to my doctor. My bacteria told me to go there.
I love that your bacteria have a very conversational tone.
Yeah. They're friendly. Yeah, most of them are good, right?
We can't ignore the fact then that, because we want to avoid talking about fecal transplants and things here, but, you know, one of the places where you find lots of microbes that have come out of you is to look at your own poo. So you're proposing being Dr. Doodoo Little, really, if you're wanting to talk to it.
I don't really want to talk to it. No. This is a one-way conversation from the bacteria to us.
Well, I don't want my poo shouting at me. That's even worse.
It's like voices in your head.
Also, if you're going to go for a cheeseburger, you don't want someone to be like, oh, you probably shouldn't have that. You know, you've got like your mother-in-law to do that already.
This is also.
I don't think I need any mic. But how would it work? How would they speak to you? Would they have like a tiny little cup with a string?
No, I suppose it would have to be, like you could have probably selective listening as a human too, right? So you could say, okay, there are lots of messages coming from these microbes all the time, but maybe we wouldn't always listen to them. just when they're important. So I'm sure that we could put some kind of hierarchy on the messages that get through.
But how would it come through? Like, would you hear them? Or would it be like a digital watch version?
Yeah, tell us, what's the line between? I suppose that's the question. Yeah. You mentioned biosensors. Tell us some more there.
Is it like a tweet?
Well, there's a whole lot of... We have to come up with a new name for if it was going to be a tweet. Well, the microbes that live in us and on us communicate with us all the time, but it's a lot of it is with chemical messages and chemical products that they would make. But we obviously can't interpret that. So sometimes people don't feel so well, but maybe it's because their microbial ecosystem is disturbed or whatever. But if you could understand why it was disturbed, maybe you could do something about remedying it. So, you could follow a healthy diet. That's probably one of the easiest ways to go about it. But maybe there are other interventions that you could go for, too, and maybe the microbes could advise you on that.
So we need to learn if you could, how tune to speak to microbe.
Yeah, or at least interpret it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you did casually throw in there that microbes are talking to us all the time.
Yeah.
So before we refer you for some help here, in case we're hearing the voices in some kind of way, what do you mean that microbes are talking to us all the time?
Oh, so there would be a lot of signaling between the microbial community that lives on your body and the human host. So the microbes do a lot of good things for us. So they help us to digest our food, for example, but they also produce lots of very useful metabolites that can promote our health and the health of the cells of the human body. So many people, when they think about bacteria or microbes in general, think, oh my goodness, I need to get rid of them because they're really bad and they're really harmful and they're going to cause a disease and, I don't want an infection. But those ones are probably quite rare, at least in most healthy people, and they would be vastly outnumbered by the healthy microbial community that lives on us and in us. And in order for us to be able to live happily with these gut microbes or skin microbes, we need to recognize that they're there and realize that they're non-threatening and actually possibly good for our health. So there is a communication backwards and forwards. It's not always understood. Lots and lots of scientists all over the world would be trying to understand the different host microbiota interactions and the different signaling that goes on. So that's it.
I love the phrase microbial community.
Oh, really?
Like, I like to imagine them in little huts and there's like a mayor of microbial town. Too far?
No, why not?
Just
though,
like
actually.
On the, if they're talking to us.
Yeah, and if they are talking to us, like, I do have to ask, because we all have different microbes living on us. It seems we've all got our own community, so to speak. Are they going to end up having different accents? Are we going to...
Oh.
Are they, is just this kind of communication that you're talking about, like, why... I suppose I'm asking, why is your microbiota, the community on you, different to me, different to... Why are we carrying different ecosystems, I guess?
Sure. So the microbial community that lives on you or in you would be influenced by so many different factors, right? So it's going to be influenced perhaps by your genetics, but also the food that you would eat and also your environment and maybe the people that surround you. So, for example, if people have a pet, for example, they might be able to get more microbes that way, say, from their dog, or they pass them backwards and forwards between people via their dog. So I think it depends a lot on a number of different factors. But everybody's microbiota, in a healthy person at least, should be influenced by, should be optimal for them based on all of the parameters of their life. But it's interesting because even though all of our microbiotas are likely to be different in composition, broadly speaking, I guess the same type of bacteria would be found in most people if they're healthy.
What do you reckon then, Sam? Is this on the short list, the idea of listening to bacteria?
I mean, I'm creeped out by the idea that I have a town going on my skin. And things calling. I don't. Mm-hmm. I feel like I still don't know how we communicate with them.
Well, you're actually working on this, aren't you? You're working on talking to bacteria to a degree. Or understanding the messages to
some
extent.
Sure, yeah. We want to be able to use the bacteria to put them in medicines, as I was saying. So we need to be able to understand how they behave and how they interact with humans, because obviously you'd want to make a medicine that's going to make people sick. Mm. So we're working
on
it.
When you put it like that, it sounds like a good thing. But I don't like the idea of... I don't know if it's in my shortlist. Am I being quite harsh?
I'm sorry. I'm going to give you another chance to try and convince you. See, so... Like, what? Because how loud is it going to be? Just I'm asking in terms of how many bacteria are living on us.
Oh, there are vastly more bacteria living on you and in you than there are cells in your human body.
So we are mostly bacteria?
We are mostly microbes, yes.
So what if they just start talking to each other and not us?
Oh, but they do talk to each other all the time.
But I'm going to feel left out.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You see, this is the reason why I'm feeling...
They're going to have to nominate, like, spokesbacteria.
A spokesbacteria?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Just one that represents all of the different bacteria. Oh, I've taken your idea.
Currently, I'd elect a spokesbacteria over the humans we have in some cases. So why not?
Well, yeah, we'd have to oversee the elections.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't want another situation. On my skin. Don't want a Trump.
So it's not going on.
You mean the spokesbacteria that tries to check out all the dog microbiota, because you know they're over here taking all of our local
resources. You could well believe that though. Yeah, actually, probably, like, there's bound to be an orange bacteria of some sort. Anyway, look, it's not on the shortlist, is it?
No.
Sorry, Anne.
Sorry.
Okay, Andy, you're up. Do you think you can beat that?
I don't know. Maybe. So Sam, you said before about the piece of bread, you're kind of going with mouldy, not sure it's right, and you
kind of... like that's an insight into my life that everyone didn't know.
Right, everyone does it. I've been doing it with milk at the moment as well, that kind of little, is it right, is it not right, I don't know, I'm going to put it in my cup of tea, oh, it's gone to bits and everything, what can I do? So what I'm thinking is a system that allows us to sample a particular environment and get an idea about what's happening there. And the best way I can think of doing it is on the tip of your finger, you have a little mini DNA sequencer. So you can tap whatever it is. It goes off, reads in the DNA, does some... I'm going to wish away quite a few bits of science here and lab prep and sample preparation and all that kind of thing. But basically sequence what's there, send it up into the cloud, because everyone knows that the cloud is the best place to put this kind of data, process it, figure out what's actually there, and report it back to you and say, okay, this particular thing is in that sample, so, you know, maybe you don't want to eat it, or maybe you do want to eat it.
So a finger sample? Can I summarise it as that?
A finger DNA sequencer.
It's like a fancy science Facebook poke.
Kind of, yeah.
No one used to poke people on Facebook. And you could poke them and then see if they were currently about to break up with your ex or...
Well, see, now this is one of the applications that you could go with it. So I'm thinking Jeremy Kyle.
Okay.
All of that kind of... parental DNA test, are you my dad, are you not my dad?
Oh,
basically,
wow.
It turns into a game of TIG, of them running around the stage, trying to touch each other to see whether they can actually sample the DNA, and then it turns out into a fight. So the only two options in that is either Jeremy Kyle would put over the Benny Hill music over the top,
yeah,
and that just becomes awesome, or Jeremy Kyle gets cancelled. I think it's a win-win, to be honest.
But so you could tell if someone was related to you by... poking them.
Potentially sequence someone, taking a sample.
Yeah.
Process DNA, look for markers within that DNA that would actually suggest whether someone is related or not. So effectively, it shortcuts the entire Jeremy Kyle kind of, we took a swab from this person, we sent it off, we put it through some genotyping, and we found out that they share so many parts of the genome, and therefore you have a chance of being related to each other.
I don't know why, because like whenever you explained your idea to me earlier a little bit, I didn't see how we went down the angle of this being just human relations, because I know one place that would be interesting would be Iceland, because Iceland has got a very narrow population, being a tiny island which was ceded by people from Denmark and Norway. Yeah. And I know that they have a version of Tinder which they call the incest spoiler. And it's effectively... it's because they don't have surnames in the same way. So their names comes from their person's father, like Anderson is the son of Ander, that kind of thing.
So they have to, whenever they meet up with someone, they kind of swap the details on the app, don't they?
Yeah.
And then that kind of says whether you're okay to go, or, oh dear God, no, never, ever.
Oh my God.
It must be an awkward conversation of, hi, lovely to meet you, are you my cousin? But all the same, what you're effectively suggesting is that one handshake...
It's worse when you say, though, like, are you my cousin? Sorry, I'm just going to get out my phone for a second. Right? And you're not calling your mum or anything, you're just kind of going, tapping...
But also you're saying, I'd like to date you, are you my cousin? So then if they are your cousin... It's really bad.
That gets into other kind of layers of social...
So this would help with telling whether people are related to you, but also telling whether, like, bread is mouldy or milk's gone off.
Yeah, so what we can do is... So if you sample a region, there's this process that we have called metagenomics, and the idea of metagenomics is that you take a sample and try and figure out what is the composition, what the genomic composition is of that sample. So you could imagine that it's taking a sample from soil and seeing what microbes are in the soil. There was two projects that involved sailing around the world, various locations, and sampling the plankton in the area, seeing what the sea life was like as well. I mean, there must be one of the only few research grants where on the list of consumables was a massive yacht, which is just great. But the idea is that once you take the sample, you sequence, you have to then reassemble the genomes together. So you've got to imagine that it's like you've got a smoothie of genomes and you have no idea how these things are all put together. So mm-hmm. you have to reassemble. Once you reassemble this, put it in order, you then try and predict what genes are there, and you try and identify what's actually in the region, what's actually there. So if you've already seen something before, then you can say, yeah, we've seen it already. So it's either safe to go or it's not safe to go.
Not trying to make you team up, but surely this would be useful for your work, Anne.
Sure, we use metagenomics all the time. I do have a question for you, though. Mm. So if you were sampling your food, right, and you use your fingertip DNA sequencer and you find out, there's something in my food, how do you know if it's alive or dead?
Oh,
well, if...
Because the DNA would be there, right?
If we can talk to them, we can just ask them.
But, yeah, if it's in your food, good point. Really...
I don't know, no.
Because, there's going to be microbes in your food for sure.
Yeah.
Like in yogurt, for example. So if you sequence a yogurt, you're going to get sequences of bacteria, for example. So how would you know if it's threatening or non-threatening? And if it's dead, it's presumably non-threatening.
Maybe it's a case of either the levels of bacteria that are there, so the amount that you sequence as well, maybe that actually has an influence on it.
Okay.
There's DNA decay though as well, isn't there? So you could actually look at how far the DNA is actually decayed in that and kind of get an idea of how...
Okay.
This has got forensic, hasn't it?
Yeah.
This
is NCIS?
I have to say, I feel slightly biased towards this because currently, you're talking about a sniff test for milk, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm currently in a position having a young child where I open up the fridge and my first test is this from a cow or is this from my wife? And I don't know why, actually, whenever I think about it, it makes me want to go vegan, because I don't know why the cow is preferable, actually. Like, which is actually weirder?
They do breast milk ice cream.
When you say they.
Yeah,
this is what I'm bringing to the table, guys.
Yeah, it was called Baby Gaga.
People. Is what? It? That's great.
Absolutely, it was called Baby Gaga.
Did you try it?
No.
Not that great. Apparently it's very creamy.
By a whipping audience, who'd be willing to give this a go? Okay, that deathly silence.
Wait. Taste it or making ice cream out of their own breast milk are two different things.
Well, earlier we had a news story about making skin cream out of our own microbes. Why is this any different, any better or any worse? It's probably the most ethical ice cream you could ever make. Think like that. And don't think about making your own black pudding. That's just wrong. Yeah. Is this on the shortlist? What do you think?
Yes.
All right.
I really like it.
Cool.
Andy's fancy...
Someone cheered.
That was me.
Finger sequence, shall we call it that?
Yeah,
finger sequencer?
Giving them the finger. Let's call it that.
Oh, that's a perfect tagline. Finger sequence. Give them the finger.
Yeah. No?
I don't know where to go with this. This is audience, please rescue us from this idea. I'm sure you can do better. We're going to turn it over to you. If you've got any ideas, get your hand, stick it high in the air. Becky's waiting here with a microphone. Sir, what's your name and what is your idea?
My name is Abrar. Okay, this might be a strange one. It's not technological or physiological, but more sociological. I'd like to see a truly egalitarian society.
How are you going to make that in terms of our...
I know that depends on changing the mindset of the entire society.
So
we
it's
seem
mindset.
To be reverting back into hierarchical structures, and democracy isn't really providing us what we want. So I think we need a new state of evolution, or sociological evolution, to kind of evolve.
Well, bearing in mind that, sure enough, our behavior is coded by our genes, what do you guys think? Can I just check, you don't want to be the leader? You're not looking for... Is this the start of the coup?
Perhaps.
And could you repeat your name for me again so that we're...
Abrar. A-B-R-A-R.
A-B-A-R. I'm just so I can report you, that's all. So, yeah, what do you reckon, guys?
What? Specifically, what do you want to achieve?
Yeah, what's so broken about society
broad.
Now as well, I
so,
guess?
Think of this way, a truly equal society where everyone has the same equal opportunities to succeed or not succeed, where you can we basically have to eliminate poverty, eliminate famine, eliminate war, eliminate disease. And that's how you can actually only do it when everyone in society is actually equal, treated equal, and yes. thinks everyone else is equal, and that is not actually the case, regardless of what society we live in.
Yeah, so in a way you're not asking for very much, but you're also asking for the biggest thing in the world,
because
we haven't solved that yet. We need some mechanisms, though. As we're doing
yeah,
this is a show about evolution, how are we going to make us equal? I'm looking at experts here.
I think we've got to start thinking about other people, haven't we? So every single action you take has to make you think, well, what's the consequence on someone else?
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps we need some kind of telepathic link or something like that that we develop to actually make us start thinking.
So you like
together.
Feel other people's pain
yeah.
if you create pain, or like men can feel mansplaining and the effect that it has and stuff like that.
Amber, could you tell us what mansplaining is, please? Sorry, no, that was a very bad joke. Forgive me. Yeah, how do you think this works as a mechanism then? So this idea, you're basically inflicting our pain on everybody else. Is that a good start?
I think, like you say, there's a lot of work behind it.
Yeah.
It basically involves changing how we think, how we act, how we see other people. It basically means how we educate others. But essentially, it's breaking down the socioeconomical barriers that currently constrain us. So how are you seeing people in power currently? Only people who are from rich societies or kind of from affluent backgrounds generally come into power. And how do you actually change that? It's changing the whole way of how people think, how they act. So it's not a simple, but press a button, it will happen. It's basically changing the mindset of everyone, and everyone has to work towards it.
Okay.
So it is, what you say, another state of evolution.
Then I think I might have an answer here for you, because one of the things, again, that makes humans so special and so different when we look at our evolution compared to many of the other apes is the capacity for empathy and the theory of mind and the understanding. But it also seems that a great deal of this theory of mind, of understanding how other people think, evolved specifically for deceit. It's one of the ways you test animals of being smart in the wild, is you see if they're lying or not. So we might have a double-edged sword here, that a greater understanding of each other might mean that we actually end up having better manipulation. Are you willing to give these people those tools? Understanding you think will lead to something good.
Well, yeah, that's what it means. I mean, do we have the capacity to root out or eliminate deceit? But then again, truly successful people are psychopaths, aren't they?
Yeah. So we've had death and psychopathy. Did you enjoy going to the podcast recording tonight? Yes, I learned a lot about the people who are sitting around me and I left early. This is terrific. Sam, what do you think?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think in the essence is an amazing thing. If we could, everyone could be equal. I don't know if we've got the mechanism for it. I quite like the feeling what other people feel, so that then you judge people based on, because you could feel what they feel and feel what they experience much more.
Yeah.
I think the telepathic thing could be cool.
So we need a mechanism for heightened empathy in order to do this. I suppose, is it on the short list or not?
Yes.
Oh, right. Is that because you'd sound like an awful person?
Yeah,
said equality?
Absolutely.
No way. Having said at the start, I want something that benefits me. Okay.
No, but this, I think this would benefit me and everyone. So, yeah. And also, I'd love to be telepathic, so.
Cool. All right. Well done. Give him a big round of applause. Thank you very much. Got a final idea, this time coming from Mother Nature herself. This is a wonderful creature that I think we can steal from. It's a kind of sea slug called the emerald sea slug. Could you describe it to our audience at home, please, Sam?
It looks like a leaf.
I was hoping
with
you'd
a ram's
that.
Head.
Because basically, this is it's a solar-powered sea slug. It has a wonderful capability of eating vegetation, nicking its chloroplasts, the bits which they use to photosynthesize, nicking the DNA that you can use to manufacture chlorophyll, so pretty much it can go to the salad bar and never have to eat again for the rest of its life. This is one of the few animals out there which can properly photosynthesize. Yeah, which I think would be pretty cool. Do away with all this eating malarkey. What do you think, Sam?
I think it's pretty.
Do you know, actually, one of my favorite facts about these, I looked up their Latin name is Alicia chlorotica, which I think sounds a bit like some kind of raunchy sea slug, you know, Mills and Boone or something, or, you know, maybe 50 Shades of Green, something. Yeah, what about this? So photosynthesizing, we go have one salad and then we never have to eat ever again in our life.
But
we just have to sunbathe, which granted in Britain doesn't help.
If I was only going to have one meal in my whole life, I wouldn't want it to be salad.
That is fair enough. I think that is it off the list. Okay, in that case, we've got it down to only two ideas for you to choose from. It is either Andy's idea of a finger fancy DNA sampler, so you never have to sniff that milk ever again, you just have to stick your finger in it. I hadn't thought about that bit.
If it's that bad, you're not going to stick your finger in it.
Fair enough, but somebody else is going to drink that milk after you. That's a different question.
Check it down the sink at that point, surely.
But what if it's okay and you've stuck your finger in it?
We hadn't thought of this at an early point.
I think it's fine. You stick your finger in most things.
Actually, it's going to be like there for only a couple of days or so, isn't it? Anyway, so your finger, or a day or so, your finger's not going to be...
Well, you can put it on the end of your toe. Because you know if you see something weird on the floor, you wouldn't put your finger on it, but you would nudge it with your toe. Yeah.
Is this from personal experience?
Yes, it is.
What was the last...
I have cats and they bring in weird things.
Yeah, fair enough.
Many dead birds.
Well, it's either that or a vague, shall we say, but still a mechanism saying that we should have equality now. So it's... I can't believe I'm weighing these two things up. Equality for everyone, but by a mechanism that we have not worked out, or a DNA sequencer that we've thought way too much about.
Or a telepathy is the mechanism, isn't it?
No. We kind of fought over that. We haven't got a mechanism for telepathy either. Come on, Sam, you got to decide. Time is ticking.
Oh, I have to decide.
Yeah, that's why you're here.
Oh. It's got to be giving it a finger.
Andy, how do you feel?
I feel fantastic. I'm just going to pattern the name of it now.
Everybody put your fingers in the air and rejoice. So we're going to take that idea and try and use it to remix our species. Before we go, everybody, I want you to give a huge round of applause to our panel. We've had Sam Baines, we've had Anne Neville, we've had Andy Yates, and we've had the wonderful audience here at the Wellcome Genome Campus.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. This episode was created with the help of the Wellcome Genome Campus, where they tackle some of the most difficult challenges facing genome science. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.